Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, and I know I'm going home.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, December 15th, 2015, and wow, this is the week. Lots to cover, lots to share, lots to talk about. Two special guests in the studio, one you're very familiar with because she's our project manager and listener relations expert extraordinaire. Yeah, she's thinking, what are you saying now, Mark? And that's Marianne Offenstein, and also she's brought a good friend and someone I've known a little bit, Diane, from afar, you and your husband Gary, and so you're an author. Well, I'm going to let Marianne do some of that introduction, but I want to make a few announcements. But let me first begin with a verse, and this will set the tone of this interview and what we'll be saying and sharing in the coming moments. But this is out of Isaiah chapter 38, verse 3, and this is a favorite of Diane's. Remember, O Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotions, and have done what is good in your eyes. Oh, we're going to find out all about that verse and so much more on today, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. But let me point out, this Saturday, the debut of the Great News Radio Theater Troupe. It's going to be happening. Oh, I'm so excited. In fact, we had a rehearsal on Monday night. And then this Thursday, we're going to have a special dinner rehearsal. And then on Friday night, the dress rehearsal. And then Saturday at noon during the Singing Men concert, the Great News Radio Theater Troupe, dressed in their Christmas garb, their costumes and robes, are going to be in the food court. So I hope you'll put it on your calendar and come on out. Lots of parking at Marketplace Mall. It'll begin at noon with the Singing Men opening up the presentation. And I don't know, six or so many songs into it, you'll see the theater troupe come. Come on out. Oh, we're excited. It's going to be great. We'll be presenting two different dramas, one called The Magi, and that includes the three wise men and a high priest and a scribe and a couple shop owners in the squares of Jerusalem. And that'll also certainly include Mary, Joseph, and baby Jesus. But we'll also have another skit later on where it'll be Mary and Martha and their conversation. And so you're in for a real treat this Saturday, December 19th at noon in the food court at Marketplace Mall. So maybe get there early, get a good lunch in you, and then be seated. They'll have seating for many hundreds of people. And so we're excited to launch the Great News Radio Theater Troupe, along with this being the 17th year a row that the Singing Men of GNN have sang at the food court in our tuxedos. So we're excited.
It's going to be so festive.
In fact, those tuxedos, I don't know. I guess we've done the tuxedos for about maybe 15 years, you know. Some of the guys, they're not quite fitting into them as well as before. But
we're all facing that.
Yeah, I know. I could give a testimony to that.
Yeah, right.
So.
Sure a lot can.
Well, Marianne, thank you for kind of putting this together or having Diane on your heart and mind. And so last week you called me and you said, Mark, I got an idea for a morning program.
Yeah.
And so you're kind of personally invested in this because you've been blessed by the story. And so introduce Diane and why you thought it would be great to introduce her to our Great News Radio listeners.
Oh, thank you. It's an honor to introduce Diane Buller. I got a copy of her book that her story's in, the book Christmas Traditions from Sandy Duderstadt, a friend of mine, in a Christmas basket. Sandy does fun stuff like that. And so she had all these little goodies, and there was a copy of Christmas Traditions signed by Diane Buller.
Hmm.
And I read this story, and I was so touched. And so here recently, I got a hold of her, and, you know, I have told countless people about this story. I don't know, it just touches me. I even read it to my sister-in-law in the hospital Saturday when she was there for hip surgery. So anyway, I did not know that Diane has stories in Jack Canfield's Chicken Soup for the Soul series. She's got stories in Gary Chapman's Companion to Love Languages. She's got all this stuff going on, and I just think it would be a real blessing to our listeners.
And I think the book is called Christmas Traditions, True Stories That Celebrate the Spirit of the Season. And
yes,
what better time as we're in the midst of the season.
I thought that too.
I like the title of this, her very specific story, Staying Home with Scarlatina.
Yeah.
And so we're going to hear how that was determined and about the story. And I think it would be great, Diane, for you to maybe just do a shout out for your husband, Gary, Mary, married these 31 years, and then just jump right into your reading, and we can talk about the history behind it, maybe some of your life story and testimony. But I got to just, I've seen Gary, I don't know, I was trying to figure out with you whether it was Promise Keepers or some Christian events or maybe some fundraising banquets, but I know we've walked some of the same roads, as they say. But tell me something about Gary that's special.
Well, first of all, thank you, Mark, and thank you, Marianne, just to be here and to tell maybe a little bit of my story. And Gary is so much of that story for the last 31 years, and he is just my encourager. And to those of us who love to tell stories, one does need someone to listen. He's an awesome listener, and so I am so thankful for that. And
what a compliment to him.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I love to share stories, but I love to hear other people's stories as well. And
I felt that from you. Yeah.
Everyone has a story.
You made that clear when I was talking to you the other day when we got together about how interested you are in people's stories, because you're kind of a story-driven person. You taught expository writing at Parkland for like 20 years and then other high school writing and so forth, but you have this great background in writing, but you yourself really love stories. Talk a little about that for a second, Diane.
Well, yes, I am a teacher by background and taught high school and then taught writing at Parkland for 20 years. But even though my writing that I taught was, it was more of an institutional writing, it was the stories that students had that drew me and drew me in. And so this is a different type of writing, a different style of writing.
Yeah, it is.
But it's where my heart is. And so, you go with your heart.
And I know we were talking off air, and I will put a little disclaimer out here for everyone. Diane left all of her notes, and she's one to be very prepared and thorough and precise and ready to go, and the notes were left at home. So I will say, she's kind of winging it. Of course, I know all about winging it, but she knows the topic because the importance of stories, communicating, whether it's your life story or a story situation or an example, because I asked you, what would be your goals, and you said, Mark, everyone has a story. It's a beautiful story. It's their unique story. It's a story that's God's given them that is unlike anyone else's story. And your goal or passion or heart is that people would learn to tell their stories, to communicate part of their lives, whether it's parents with their children or children with their friends or just anyone, a co-worker sharing the stories, because you have found it's powerful, right?
The story is powerful, and we want to inspire others, encourage others, point to truth. Ultimately, that's what our stories can and do have the power to do. They could also help us process something that we have gone through in the past, I think, or are going through right now. And so I think there's a little bit of storyteller in each of us.
Well, let's hear your story as recounted in the book Christmas Traditions, Staying Home with Scarlatina.
I can't wait.
1960 was the year my mother made me the most amazing red dress with white polka dots, white collar, and oversized bow on the back. It was perfect for a 7-year-old girl. Unfortunately, I didn't get to wear my brand new dress to the Christmas Eve service. I didn't even get to go, despite the fact that I'd memorized my poem to recite at our little church in central Illinois farm country. No dress, no poem, not even a bag of fruit, candy, and nuts. And worst of all, no Christmas caroling after the program. The doctor called it scarlatina. I had no choice but to stay home with my mother. I watched dejectedly as Dad ushered my 2 older brothers to church while I lounged on our sofa and gazed at the Christmas tree lights. This was our 2nd tree this year. The first one had already been stripped of decorations and replaced with a fresher version with all the original trimmings, because the next day my cousins would come for dinner. This year it was our turn to host Dad's side of the family of more than 2 dozen aunts, uncles, and cousins, and Grandma. I could hear Mom's mixer in the kitchen, grinding the cranberries for the relish, and chopping the dates for our favorite dessert. I hadn't eaten much these last few days, but I would eat date cake on Christmas, no matter what. Mom didn't seem to mind having to stay home.
She had plenty to do before tomorrow. As I shifted on the couch, she shifted from one recipe to the next. Would I have to stay upstairs in my bedroom the next day? Would I get to open my gifts the next morning before everyone started arriving around noon? I didn't dare ask for fear of what the answer might be. What if dinner was canceled? Or worse yet, Christmas? Rather than think about the unknown, I focused on what I knew for sure. I knew I was missing hearing the other kids' poems that they had memorized and the songs. A lump rose in my throat. How I missed the songs. I could hear Christmas carols on the old radio in the kitchen, but they only reminded me of the songs I could be singing in church and caroling. Even at the age of 7, I knew all the verses to "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear." "Are they going caroling?" I asked Mom, half hoping my family wouldn't be going, and at the same time hoping they did go so they didn't miss out on all the fun, too. "I don't think so," Mom murmured as she mixed up another concoction. "Not going?" My eyes misted over. Was I ruining Christmas Eve for everyone? For me to miss the program was hard enough, but for my whole family to miss the caroling afterward as well? The church caroling was an event not to be missed. Families drove to the homes of elderly who didn't get out on a bitter cold winter night, even on Christmas Eve, and always to a family of 7 whose father was paralyzed from polio. Caravanning from one farmhouse to another, we always waited until the whole group arrived. Then we snuck up to the door to sing 3 or 4 songs. After singing, we ran back to heated cars and headed to the next farmhouse, but not before a bag of hardtack or homemade cookies was passed through the door, just as we ended with, "We wish you a Merry Christmas." As the evening waned on, my thoughts shifted from what I was missing to attempting to stay awake until my family came home. Just as my eyes were beginning to droop, Mother walked into the living room and flipped on the switch to the porch light. At that very second, I heard the first strains of "Joy to the World" coming from our front porch. I instantly sat up from the couch and pulled back the white sheared curtain. I looked out in amazement. "Why are they here?" I asked. Mom smiled. "They've come to sing to you." I knelt on the couch, my face pressed to the frosted living room window, mesmerized by my own private choir. As soon as the songs were finished, Mom handed them the treat she had been busy making in the kitchen, and they raced back to their cars. Within seconds, Dad and my 2 brothers walked through the back door with the usual bag of fruits, nuts, and candy. I have never been able to remember what gifts I unwrapped the next morning, but there were some things about that Christmas I will never forget, including spending time with my family and enjoying a piece of delicious date cake with whipped cream. My most vivid memory still has the ability to put a smile on my face. I recall sitting at the top of the stairs, my perfect red dress with white dots and white collar, with the oversized bow in the back spread all around me, memorizing every little detail about the night before, when the church carolers had stood on our porch and sung Christmas carols just for me.
Staying Home with Scarlettina. Oh. You know, when I first heard that title, I was thinking that was a name of maybe a doll or an individual. So there really is a...
It's a sickness. What is it exactly, Diane?
It's supposed to be a sort of a mild version of scarlet fever. We certainly, thankfully, don't have that anymore.
Yeah,
but
really,
a rash all over your body. And,
So now, you thought it was a doll.
Well, because my Esther has an American Girl doll, and it's something Katina or something like that.
So I thought,
it's very unique. That's why I said Esther would love that name. Well, now that
funny.
I know what's behind
maybe
that
not.
Name.
There's
now,
a story about that coming, I think.
Now, is this your own childhood story?
It is. Yeah. It is my story. I could go back there in a moment. Those images that are really freezed in our minds, and that's one of remembering. And I was seven, so my memory is childhood. Some of you have really vivid memories of their childhood. My husband doesn't. He has a fabulous memory. But I sure remember that one, and remember them coming to the door, and all of a sudden just singing this sweet carol. So that was a sweet story for a little girl.
Yeah. Well, I'm already catching a vision. I think I alluded to this before our broadcast, but with our Great News Radio Theater troupe presenting this Saturday, I said, you know, at some point I know we're going to do something at Marketplace Mall, because the mall manager said, hey, anytime you want to bring the theater troupe out for an evening of drama or skits. And I thought, Kate, our director, has said, sometimes that first person dramatic representation of their life story, and maybe three different sets where they stay on the stage, but maybe they put on a robe or then an overcoat or different characters. And I thought, wow, Diane, whether it was you or we found maybe like a seven-year-old that would recount this story. I don't know whether they could memorize it all or just read it. I think that's just powerful with a couple props. And
see, Diane, you didn't know that when you came here today, Mark's going to put your story into production.
Yeah.
You're right. I did not know that.
No,
you're right.
We weren't thinking along that line.
Yeah, but there's so much power in a story and a personal story. I'm sure there's listeners that are, you know, connecting maybe with caroling or being a part of where they volunteered and went out and blessed people, or, you know, the special traditions of the treat or the fruitcake or whatever that was offered, you know, Christmas Eve, or those that maybe were sick during that season and so they were left home, or maybe they were feeling abandoned, or they had those friends or family member embracing and loving on them like you had.
Well, also, it just struck me when I read that story and then Diane and I were talking that people just don't seem to go caroling anymore. And that was such a great, I don't know, there's just something about it, the energy and the light and the excitement and the glowing faces.
And the surprise.
The surprise when they showed up. Yeah. And I really caught that from your story. It just took me back. I thought, oh, I remember that.
Well, you were getting a little misty-eyed, Mary Ann.
I know. I do every time I hear that. See that little girl so lonely sitting on the step thinking she'd been abandoned and left, and all of a sudden all the carolers are outside just for you.
Christmas. Sometimes we just have these things that are so simple that we think no one's interested in hearing them, and that they're just not special, or they're special just to us. But I hear someone else's story, and
that's right,
Mary Ann. I'm looking forward to. I've already got your book, and I'm looking for order that on Amazon, and that's my after. I'm just going to put that in right now, and talking to her about that's really her story and memories that I'm looking forward to reading after Christmas.
Oh, you're in for a real treat. In fact, I had her read on, I guess, two of our programs, excerpts, and they're powerful, and there's nuggets of wisdom, and it's a story, yet there's like a principle or an overarching theme or an application point that it's really well done and uniquely done. So those are archived at our website, so you can kind of hear her reading it, but you'll be really blessed. But what would you say to that listener that is saying, well, Diane, you're a beautiful writer. I mean,
yes,
the language you used and the picture you painted, I don't have that. What would you say to them that they should still just try to put it down, put it into writing, you know, make some record of it, because you don't want these stories to be lost?
That's right.
Exactly. You don't. And the older I get, the more I value that. And whether it's a legacy type of writing, and it doesn't need to be published, just something to share with your family, with your children, your grandchildren, to write those down. And if it's journaling, whatever form, stories that they write down.
That's right. And I think that you've alluded to it, and I feel that we both, Diane and I both, just resonate on this thing of story is so important. And, you know, the simple story of a little girl alone sitting on the step and carolers come and brighten the whole event and all of Christmas, that's not some exotic story. That's a simple story from a simple time. And maybe there's a listener out there right now, I don't know, who's thinking, oh, my stories are too simple or too... But see, they're very powerful, and stories matter. And, you know, in this world, we need stories
to be told.
And the greatest storyteller of all time was the Lord Jesus
yes.
Christ, who used so many word pictures and parables and stories. And it's interesting, Diane, you said something a few minutes ago about it's maybe a simple story, or somebody would say, well, my story, mm-hmm. you know, it's important to me and my family, but maybe not to others. And this past week, in the Monday and Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, we had Todd and Val Cabe and four of their children in.
Yeah.
And it was interesting, when Val heard the program and listened to the story, she said, you know, I love hearing other people's stories, but I thought, oh, my story is kind of...
people think that.
And
they think that.
She was told by a number of friends they loved hearing her story.
Yeah.
And she said, wow, I just didn't think about my story, my simple story, would have an impact on people. And so you're really telling people, or you're really encouraging people, write those stories down, or tell those stories to friends and neighbors.
Exactly. Mark, if there's some nugget that points to the, if it's the answer to prayer, or if mm-hmm. it's something that points to building our faith, it can in turn certainly build somebody else's. And I remember how many times I've said, thank you for sharing your story with mm-hmm. me, because I go home and yeah. I'm still thinking about that the rest of the day, that answer yeah. to that prayer. And
you say you even, when you go to church, you're listening for the stories the pastor might tell.
I do.
That's pretty cool.
yeah,
in a sermon, you know, you're listening for that. Like some people, you know, have the gifts of music. They're listening for the music, and others have the gift of other things. You're listening for the stories. You're a storyteller, Diane.
I am story-driven, and he has a lot of great points. I want to make sure that I do. Our pastor does have a lot of great
yes,
points.
Yes, he does. Randy, Windsor Road Christian Church.
Randy Boltonhouse, beloved by all. Hey, in closing out, because we just have a few seconds here, but what was the story behind the opening verse that I shared out of Isaiah 38? Why did you choose that of the many verses?
That's really my mission that I have. And at the end of the day, at the end of my life, that's really what I want to do. And I just seek that my story, the story of my life, would honor God in that way.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Let me close out with that reading. It's out of Isaiah chapter 38, verse 3. Remember, O Lord, how I walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion, and have done what is good in your eyes. Great message for this Christmas time. And the book we've been referring to is Christmas Traditions, True Stories That Celebrate the Spirit of the Season. And the specific story submitted by Diane Bowler is Staying Home with Scarlatina. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. And I sure hope you're going to come out to the Marketplace Mall this Saturday at noon in the food court. Free concert with the Singing Men of GNN.
Come
and
on
yet,
out, everybody.
It's the debut of the Great News Radio Theater Troupe, so there will be many stories to tell if you come and
perfect.
Attend this Saturday. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.